ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, fans of all ages, it's your favorite time of the week. You might need to brace yourself and grab a cold beverage. Mark and Scott are ready to drop some college football betting knowledge on your ass. The boys are back and ready to help you find some angles to beat your book, impress your friends, and get you ready to enjoy the greatest sport on the planet. So sit back and enjoy, because we're damn happy to have you. Welcome to the Crazy Sheet.
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, it's your favorite time of week. You download the Crazy Sheet, you get you something to drink, you go for a walk, you take your dogs out. I don't even give a damn. I'm Mark, and I'm here in the podcasting studio, and Scotty is obviously out on the road by that backdrop. How the hell are you, brother?
Man, I'm good. Chi-Town.
Love Chi-Town.
You know what? It was a good time tonight. Had a nice little dinner. Ready to talk about some gambling. I am so damn happy that we start college football, like, for real. Last weekend was just enough to really get me miserable. I want to talk about just a moment about Ohio.
Oh, my God.
If Rourke doesn't get hurt, we not only cover that number, they boat race their ass. Mm-hmm. They pound them. I'm telling you, that is the problem with gambling early in the season. You can't bet too much early, get in love with the game too much, because I knew this roster has got a chance to win this game. They're going to be fired up. Boom. Second series of the game, get an injury, alters the game. You can't fall in love too much with a game early in the season. Jeopardize your bankroll. I was as confident I was going to win that game as anything I did all weekend. Lost it. Didn't bet enough on Notre Dame, who I knew was going to be a good football team. Don't fall in love with it. Trust your research. Do it right. Be disciplined. This is a marathon, not a sprint. Don't risk your bankroll. Last week was a prime example of that. We read it right. Lost the bet. I mean, damn, we almost covered the bet and didn't have a quarterback.
Right.
For 3.5 quarters. That is gambling in a nutshell. And as we talk about a podcast, that's what you got to do. Don't risk it. Don't get greedy. If we have a bad week or you have a bad week, don't chase it drunk 10 o'clock Eastern on Saturday night. Live to fight another day. That was the lesson from last Saturday. Your research can be right. You can pick it right. It's why they call it gambling. You know, it is what it is. I mean, it just is what it is. Notre Dame looked as good as I thought they were going to look.
Yeah.
Those wide receivers and that quarterback are going to be good. Let's always bet against Navy week one. Holy smokes. How in all my research did I miss that they are that bad week one and can't score? I totally did everybody on this podcast a disservice, missing that trend. But last week was a lot of fun. SC, defense going to be a problem.
It's going to be
ugly. Although, I will tell you, my initial gut research told me to take San Jose to cover that number. Talk myself out of it with the hype and everything. Just that was a mistake. Learned a lot about teams last week. Learned a lot about myself. Trust your gut. Do what you do. If I trust my gut, I lose one game last week, one bet last week. We went 2-3 as a cast. I think legitimately my gut was 4-1 week. And that tells me that my research is right. And guess what? We're getting ready to pound that ass this Saturday, baby.
Oh, goodness. Well, that was it. 2-3 last week. We had 2-1 or 1-2. And then we had the team totals. We recommended you take on those in the Notre Dame game and in the USC game. We're probably the only podcast in America that opened up talking about the Ohio game last week. But that's what we do around here. I was impressed with Hawaii. I thought Timmy Chang did a good job against Vandy. I'm interested. And, of course, overreaction already happened. The line crashes from around 7 down to 3, 3.5 in the Stanford game this week. Stanford's not going to be very good. They've got to travel across. That's also a short week. We did address that because they're playing on Friday night. But yeah, last week was fun. Learned a few things, picked a few things up from there. As we get ready for this, we're on the eve of college football season. It's always the most exciting. You know, everybody gets excited about the Thursday, Friday of the national championship or the March Madness. And I get it. It's a lot of fun. But this Thursday has been like Holy Grail day for me for 20 years now. I barely can work on these days, and I'm excited. We've got a great slate of D1 games lined up for Thursday night. We don't have a ton of marquee games for this weekend, but there's some really good games, and there's a lot of interesting storylines. That being said, Scott, I'm ready to dive in. I know you are too, but the one thing I will say to folks, and kind of know what Scott's doing, don't be scared to maybe bet a half a unit on some of these games. Keep in mind, these lines have been out there for 2 months, and they've been beaten up pretty good. And so rarely are you sneaking one by the goalie on this spot here. And so,
Mark, I told all my friends last week that at the end of the day, Vegas is doing the same thing that we're doing. And they're running off of numbers. How well do you trust your research is what you need to gamble? There are values out there. Whether I have found them, whether you found them, whether some listener has found them, or whether Vegas has found them. There are values out there every week. It's happened the first 2 weeks of the season, every week. If you really dive in and you trust yourself and you trust your research, don't be scared to bet it, but don't risk your bankroll. To me, that is the wisdom of gambling. But there's money to be won the first 2 weeks.
I agree.
Vegas week 3 and 4 is going to get dialed in. And, man, it gets a whole lot harder to win until we get a body of work to start gambling on teams. That's the reason October is the best number for the books. And then the injuries and everything and schedules start rolling in and all of those things. And, you know, then you start figuring who teams are. It's not just on a number. Don't extend yourself is my only advice to everybody.
Oh, that's enough parenting, brother. Let's talk about some college football. Let's talk about Thursday night. There's 4 games Thursday night. The one that's getting the most hype probably of all is going to be the Florida-Utah game, where they're going to be traveling. Florida's traveling up to Rice-Eccles to play in this one. It was announced today that Cam Rising is not going to start, is most likely out for the game. Line crashed a little bit more. That line was at 10.5 earlier this summer. The total crashed along with it. I don't know what you're going to get from these two teams. I don't think Florida's that good. I think there's going to be a lot of ground and pound. I think Kyle Whittingham's one of the best coaches in the country. You're going to be playing at one of the highest stadiums. I would lean Utah in the win in that one. I don't know that I would take them to cover the points, but their second-string quarterback's been playing all summer. This isn't something that happened on Tuesday, all right? So they know what's coming here. They're prepared to go into this. We didn't think Cam Rising was going to play. That's why we don't have a Utah future for them to win the conference. So that's the big news that you've got on Thursday night. All that being said, Scott, why don't we get to the sexiest game that we want to play? North Carolina State will be traveling to Storrs to play UConn. Line here is at 14.5 is what you're seeing. Over-under is 46.5. I'm excited about NC State. I think this is a sleeper team in the ACC. I'm really looking forward to 3 weeks from 2 or 3 weeks from now when they play Notre Dame. UConn finished 6-7, got that backdoor bowl bid that they got into last year. Didn't end so well, but a much improved UConn team over what we've seen in the past. But I'm excited. Brennan Armstrong, Robert and Nye, pairing back up since the last time they were together at Virginia. I also think Dave Clawson's one of the best coaches in the ACC. Does a good job really developing his defense and really developing his players better than most because he's not getting all the 5-star kids in there. With the over-under being as low as 46.5, NC State minus 14.5, this could be a little bit of a fight in a phone booth. I think Brennan Armstrong is going to go off, brother. I like NC State in this spot.
I love them in this spot. There's a ton of reasons I like them. I just think the talent level is not even close. I mean, at the end of the day, you take out Michigan and Ohio State and Penn State out of the Big Ten. And all the talent lies in the ACC and the SEC. That's borne out by the NFL draft every year. And NC State is a talented football team. Guys on that roster are talented, even though they're guys you don't recognize and you don't know their name. But here is the stats I want to give you. So just the last couple of years with UConn, they played Syracuse at Storrs, 48-14 last year. Does anybody really think this football team is it better? Oh, everybody's in love. Oh, they got all these starters back. I think UConn's got 17 starters back, bulk of their offensive and defensive lines. They're going to be better. Oh, it's great. Man, okay, all right. But this is a significantly better football team coming into Storrs. They're going to pound those guys. Let's look at a couple of other Power 5 teams. They went to Michigan, lost 59-0. Played at NC State last year, lost 41-10. I think this NC State team this year is better than last year.
I do, too.
Home field's worth a 3-4 points.
Not NC
this
State.
Ain't nearly enough points. They're going to beat the dog shit out of these guys. Cash your check. Take this to the house. This is easy.
My favorite part you're going to get to hear when you tune this game in tomorrow night is the transfer quarterback's name from UConn, Joseph Fagnano. I mean, if this guy didn't fall off the Sopranos box set, I don't know what did. I am looking forward to the announcers rolling this dude out a couple of times. I want some big plays out of him or a couple sacks just so I can get excited cheering about that. Oh, Scott, that's the first game on the rotation sheet. I am going to surprise some folks. We are going to go straight to the next game. I know you all thought you wanted. If you've got a rotation sheet, why don't you go ahead and slide down to game 170. And that would be Rutgers at home laying 6.5 to Northwestern. Scotty, please tell me why we're investing after-tax dollars in this game.
Well, first off, I think that Rutgers is going to be a better football team. Second off, I think Northwestern may be one of the worst teams in the country. And there is no doubt when their coach comes out and says, oh, they responded well, they've done all this, and the media pounds them about why they responded well. They've been hazing people. I'm like, this is why they're going to suck donkey balls. I think this team's going to suck. I think it's where they are. I think, candidly, that there wasn't a revolt. They fired the winningest coach in their program from the guys who aren't pussies, candidly. It shocks me. I mean, it just stuns me. You can't win without being tough. I understand there are people out there that think, you know, wow, you can play football and you can be a nice guy. Man, let me tell you something. Football ain't nice. And let me tell you, locker rooms get ugly. You get hazed. let me share you the bloody details. You better be a man to walk in there. You better be able to handle anything when you walk into a locker room with 100 dudes. Clearly, they can't handle it. I'm out on this football team. I think Greg Schiano's football team is going to be better. I don't like anything that's going on at Northwestern. I don't think they're talented. I don't think they're good. And I think they lost their best player on defense. Everybody keeps pointing to they've got starters back on defense. They lost their best player, a guy who had, 200 tackles last year?
Yep.
He's gone. You know what? I'll take Rutgers. They're going to pound the shit out of these dudes.
Rutgers -6.5. That's a gross play. I'm just putting it out there for you. And, oh, by the way, get used to it because there's a few more that are coming your way. Let's go to
get
a game.
Get paid on gross plays. Get paid on gross plays.
Let's go to a game Saturday night, 7:30 p.m., be played in Charlotte, North Carolina and South Carolina. The battles for the Carolinas. North Carolina, current over-under is 64.5. South Carolina's +2.5. This is an interesting game. You got a lot of marquee names in this one. Obviously, Phil Longo, the offensive coordinator at North Carolina, has left. He's been replaced by Rhett Lashey. Gene Chizik is the official defensive coordinator, as far as I know now, in North Carolina. And obviously, with North Carolina, you got Drake May, is the quarterback of choice that's there, and he's incredible. And it's actually, it's going to be really sad that Drake May's probably going to not, you know, he won't win a Heisman. He may not win. He's not going to win the conference, and he'll probably go just above 500 this year. And then he may end up being like a top five draft pick. But they can fling it. They're going to go. South Carolina, on the other hand, Beamer, Rattler, what's going on with this team? I'm going to go. I think you and I are on the same page with this one, but it's kind of, I like the underdog and I like the under. I don't think North Carolina is going to run and move the ball as fast as they did last year. I think Longo's unique in that way. Longo likes to run the ball too. Lachey, I'm not sure what we're going to get, but I, from the reports I've read, the tempo is going to be slowed down a tick. Plus, you don't have any game-breaking wide receivers on this team anymore with North Carolina, so you're breaking in a lot of skill-level talent. South Carolina last year, after they simplified the roster for Rattler, they came around. They won some games. This is a team that beat Clemson last year. And so I think this team comes in with a big chip on their shoulders. I mean, Rattler at one point was a Heisman hopeful and was one of the top recruits in the country. And so I think he's got a lot to prove. But they've also got a solid 1-2 punch running back attack. And I think that – and they don't run that fast. And they can grind and they can grind and they can grind. And so I like what's going on there. And the other thing I like is their kicker last year was 4-for-4 in completions and had 2 touchdown passes. And Beamer ball, you got to love you some special teams, baby. I like the under here, and I like +2.5 for the South Carolina Gamecocks.
Yeah, you said, Lashley, on the, you're talking about and it, look, it's easy to get confused.
Oh, Lindsay's Chip
ex-Auburn coordinators. Yeah. let's face it. Lashley's at Smooth, Chip Lindsay, but the point remains the same. They're going to run slower than they did with Longo. Everything remains the same. I agree with you. I think that is the, I think the biggest play here is under 64.5. Now, I think SC's going to win the game. I think, here's what I like about South Carolina first in winning the football game. When a coach every time gets interviewed, and all he talks about, and look, I think over the last 2 years, I made a pretty clear point that I am not a Spencer Rattler fan as a whole. All Beamer has done is talk about how good of a player, how good of a leader he's been. Every time he talks about somebody on the team, he always goes back to Rattler. Kids do grow up. I mean, this kid got hit in the full limelight as, what, a 17-year-old kid when he was number one player in the country.
Yep.
He's had people kissing his ass since he was a 15-year-old kid. And then he really faced adversity as at Oklahoma. And then he faced it again last year. And then I think responded really well. You know, it's not above a 20-year-old kid to like realize, you know, I got to grow up and be a good player, and I got to do things different. And everything Beamer has done in the offseason says that's what's happening. And I think that's a big part of this ball game. I really, really do. And I think this is a improving football team. I think Beamer's got these kids believing. Yes, they have a lot of kids transfer out. We've all talked about the transfer portal on this podcast, how many kids they cut loose and how many left on their own, how many are leaving because they got rid of them. You know, that's less of a concern for me than it used to be. And I think that Rattler stepping forward is a big deal because it's clear that the coaching staff believes this kid's matured and he's a difference maker. He's obviously playing against a very good quarterback who may be the first quarterback in the draft. I mean, he's a legit player. And I think I saw Mel Kiper's board today, and I think he had him 4th overall. But at the end of the day, these are 2 good quarterbacks going at it. Where are the rosters? Where's this going to come into play? At the end of the day, I like this SEC roster at SC. I think they're both good football teams, but I really love the under in this play. I think South Carolina is going to win the game, and if they don't, it's going to be really close, is why I like the point total. But man, I love this under on both totals. You look the last couple of, you look last year, they only went over 64.5. Tennessee, Arkansas, Vandy, and Charlotte for SC. And then UNC only went over on Appy, Duke, Notre Dame, FAMU. It is such a different schedule. And there was one other game that North Carolina went over. But at the end of the day, we're talking 24 games. And they only went over 9 times this number. You got an offensive coordinator who's going to run slower than Longo. You've got a lot of losses on that South Carolina team. I don't necessarily know if they're going to force the pace. I think 64.5 is a sure bet. I think the smart gambling play on a number is South Carolina plus the points.
I like it. South Carolina plus the points, taking the SEC to dominate the ACC one more time. Scotty, let's get to a Midwestern bang-em-around type game. Toledo going to Champaign, Illinois. -9.5. This line was at 10. It's come down. Over-under total here is at 46. You got the Burt Bielema experience getting better and better, though, it seems. Wonder if they didn't peak last year. This is going to be an interesting team. Toledo's one of the most experienced teams coming back in the MAC. They're favored to win the MAC. These teams have struggled to step up in conference when they've gone against Power 5 teams, especially on the road. Illinois loses a tremendous amount of talent to the draft. They lose a lot of players in the secondary, some up front on the defense, and so it's going to be interesting, and the quarterback play is going to be different there. Scotty, are we rolling with the Illini, or are we taking the Rockets?
The numbers tell you that this is worth an upset play of the week. I'm going to play this my upset play of the week. It's simply because it's simply because of the numbers. I mean, you look at the odds when you're getting +9.5. I mean, I've seen it up to +350 at different books. You got to take that. I mean, at the end of the day, because I can see them winning this game. Here's why I can see it. And make no mistake that Illinois is a good football team, but you got a new quarterback transferring in. This offense was abysmal with a good quarterback who transferred in last year. Is it going to be the same way again? They still have very good defensive line play, even though they lost two very good defensive linemen. Look, they got an All-American at defensive end at Illinois. But you can't lose those DBs and expect that defensive backfield to play the same way. You really can't, because they lost three good ones. They didn't lose one good one. I mean, everybody knows, you know, I mean, they had a Thorpe Award winner. Everybody knows they lost a good DB. They lost three of them. And I think that is where the difference in this game is. Toledo's got a lot of talent back, a lot of players back. They're going to spread the football around. I think they are going to figure out how to score enough points. This is 16 starters back. This is a good football team, and I think we just can't look past that. But they are 7-10 against the Big Ten straight up. I mean, against the spread since 1992. So you're like, the difference is I like this comparison. Toledo's been playing some really good Big Ten teams.
Yeah, like Ohio
I think this
State.
Is an average Big Ten team.
Yeah, I agree with you. I think Toledo's got a shot. I mean, keep in mind, this is their Super Bowl. And so they're coming out with everything. And you know Illinois has been preparing for this game. But this is Toledo's Super Bowl to get the season started. I mean, what a jolt it would be for a program like this. And you're going to laugh when I tell you this. I don't know that there's a look-ahead spot here, but I am looking to next week when Illinois has to travel to Lawrence to play Kansas. Kansas' offense is explosive. So 2 weeks in a row, we're going to find out how Illinois can handle tempo, because it's going to be coming at them hard and it's going to be coming at them fast. And so I'm looking forward to it. Toledo Rockets +9.5. Don't be scared to get the hook if you can find it out there. I think that's a good bet. Scotty, next two bets I'm going to have are both going to be in the state of Texas. One's going to be in College Station. The other one's going to be in Austin. Texas is hosting Rice, laying 35 points in this game. I think this is a lot of points, but I also think this Texas team is for real. We took Texas to win the Big 12 at plus 110, plus 105 in the summer, if you listened to us back then. I think this offense is explosive on levels, in a sense that where you're going to have Quinn Ewers. Now you start hearing the rumors that Arch Manning's going to play. The backup quarterback, the big fella, he looked electric in the spring game. And from what I've read, he's had good talent. JT Daniels, and you're going to hear this on Saturday if you haven't read it already, he's about to play Texas for the third time on his third different roster. And what's comical is he also played at Georgia. So there's one team he played on that he didn't play Texas. So this will be his fourth college roster that he's been on. He played him at USC. He played him when he was at West Virginia. And he played him here. He's never scored more than 18 points in a game. I don't think they do it here. I think Texas runs away with this one. Rice has got a lot of true freshmen that are going to be starting here and a lot of redshirt freshmen. This team is young. They might win some games when you get into conference play, but I don't like it. But I like minus 35, but I like the first half, and I'm going to play it all the way up to minus 24 and maybe a team total on these because I think Texas is going to lay the wood to the Owls.
Texas is going to pound the shit out of these guys. Don't feel bad about laying a big number early. They got Bama waiting. They need to get out to a good start, and they've gotten off to good starts before. Last 15 games against Rice, Texas is 10-4-1 against the spread. Last two, they laid 26 last year, won 58 bullet. 2 years ago, laid 32, won 48-13. This is a significantly better football team than both of those. Yep. Not convinced Rice is better. They're going to beat the shit out of these guys. They're going to beat them as bad as they want to. The only way they don't cover is if Sark doesn't want to cover. They're going to pound the shit out of these guys.
Moving on to the next game we've got at College Station, 6 p.m. that night. New Mexico Lobos are going to be traveling in to play this team. Maybe I'm the only one, but I am on the hype wagon for the Aggies. I am so interested to see what Bobby Petrino is going to put on the field and how the dynamic between him and Jimbo Fisher is going to work. I'm actually going to try to not drink too much before this game because I want to see how they interact with each other, what's going to go on. This New Mexico team is not good. You know, they brought in
a ton of guys.
Yeah. Last year they ran that crazy triple option, run every play offense. I've read through the notes. I don't like anything you're getting out of New Mexico from this team. This A&M team, I think, has the chance to be really explosive, but defensively, I think this team is going to be solid as a rock. I think their front seven is as good as it's been in the last decade. The players that have left, I thought it was interesting the other day. I read all the players that left A&M, or I think the four and five stars, have actually, when they went to their other team, they're not on their other teams anymore either. Like Denver Harris, he's not with LSU. Speaking of weird, did you see Eric Gilbert got arrested yesterday?
No.
Yeah, he's trying to get eligible to play for Nebraska, and he was picked up and arrested for robbing a vape and tobacco store with a bunch of Delta 8 cigarettes and gummies on his way out the door, and they charged him for like $1,800 in theft. Is that the most fucked up dude ever? I mean, that guy was the number one tight end recruit in the country, went to LSU, then got his head knocked, you know, transfers to Georgia. Yeah, transfers to Georgia. Never could get on the field because he couldn't get his head right. And here he is getting a second chance at Nebraska, and now he's probably in custody in Lincoln, Nebraska at this point. Anyway, side note. But I like A&M here. I like A&M to cover minus 21. I think they're going to come out, play with tempo. I think they're probably going to post pretty close to a shutout. New Mexico does not have the explosive offense it's going to take to break the top off of it or put together a long drive. And so I really like A&M here. I'm going to lay up to minus 21 in this one. And I think A&M names their number. I think this one could easily be a 56-7, 56-bullet type deal. They've got Miami on deck next week. I wouldn't be surprised if you get some Wegman and you get some Max Johnson playing just to get them some reps in there. I don't know that they go all out, but I think from a defensive standpoint, you see a great effort, and I think Aggies actually get – I think they're blowing and going in this one from get.
Yeah, I don't disagree at all. I mean, dude, New Mexico is a really tough job.
Oh.
I mean, it is a tough job, and they just don't get very much talent from anywhere. And you are facing a team that has got as much talent as anybody in the country. Now, whether they're as well coached as anybody in the country is the difference. I think this is a team that's going to come out and gas these guys. Like you said, they've had an offensive coordinator change, bringing in the interim coach from UAB last year to coach this offense. This just looks like boat race city. I don't know how A&M's not going to cover 21 in this. If you're Jimbo Fisher, you have to cover 21 in the first half.
I think so.
It doesn't matter whether you cover this number. You've got to boat race these dudes early. He loses the fan base week one. And that's the reason I like this bet.
Yeah.
They've got to come out hot. They've certainly got the ability to do it. There is no doubt he wants to put gas can on these guys. Make no mistake. If it's fourth and one at the 40, they ain't punting. They're going for it. I think they've gas canned these dudes. I think this is 35-0 at halftime. You may want to lay some money on them again, on that total, because I think they may win the total, but I think the first half is a gift.
Here we go. I'm excited. All right, next game, Scotty, has got to be one of your favorites. You came into the conversation ready to talk to me about this one. The Fun Belt American matchup. South Alabama will be traveling down the road to New Orleans to play Tulane. This line now has shrunk to -6.5 Tulane. You've seen some sevens. You might see another seven. And the over-under here is at 51.5. Tulane coming off of the Cotton Bowl win over USC. Michael Pratt, the quarterback, playing out of his mind. I actually thought he might transfer at the end of last season and try to get to a group of five job or a power five job, but he didn't. He stayed there. South Alabama on the flip side, and they did lose some talent. Tulane did they lost some to the draft and graduation. South Alabama on the other side has more returning starts and plays than anybody else in the Sun Belt. They've got more returners back than most teams in the country. Major Applewhite's down there. This was a solid team last year, and I've actually got them picked to win the Sun Belt. Scotty, are we taking Tulane -6.5, your almost alma mater, or are we going with the Jaguars at +7?
Oh, hell no. We're taking South Alabama, baby. Kane Womack. You talked about it. Bradley was really good at quarterback for them last year, and I made a mistake. I undersold these guys early in the season, didn't second half gambling, but, buddy, LaDainian Webb, 1,000-yard rusher, back, good player. People don't realize he's a Power 5 guy. He's a Mississippi State guy. All-road lead back to Mississippi State, as somebody said listening to this podcast. Webb is a guy who – and then there was the change to Mike Leach. And, you know, it's – you get guys floating around. They don't fit systems and things like that. I like Webb. He's a good player, 1,000-yard rusher. Bradley was outstanding at quarterback. I just like everything about this football team. You know I love Willie Fritz. Anybody that knows me, as much as I, you know, love Mississippi State, I wanted to hire Willie Fritz when we hired Mike Leach. I think he's a good football coach. I think he's a great fit for the Bulldogs. Love him. It's not any of that. I think South Alabama was a really, really good football team and underrated last year. And I think they have everybody back. Love this football team. This is too many points. They're a live dog. I am telling you, if you want some value and you want $50 and you just take South Alabama, take Toledo, bet you $50, get you an underdog parlay and get you some fun on, because you can bet your ass that I'm doing that Saturday morning.
That's a big number. I'll calculate it here in a minute. Oh, man, I like it. South Alabama +7 coming in here against Tulane. I haven't looked at the betting splits yet, but I'm going to guess Tulane's going to get all the public money, especially after their win. I think this is going to be a great game.
They beat South Carolina. I'm telling you, that number will be 7 at kickoff on Saturday.
Yeah, I won't be surprised.
Because nobody's studying numbers right now. They beat USC in a freaking bowl game. Everybody watched it. It was an exciting game. It was great. Nobody thinks South Alabama's worth a damn, and they're the exact same football team. They all have the exact same talent, and I really like what they've got coming back. I think South Alabama is – I think they're a 10-win football team.
Oh, yeah, I do too. They win this game here, and I easily think that they could
be – they may make the – they may be that extra team.
They could, but I think they win this game here, they've got a decent chance of going undefeated. Yeah, if you're looking at this game, I just pulled the betting splits. 88% of the bets, 83% of the money's on Tulane, 12% of the bets, and 17% of the money's on South Alabama. I think South Alabama will take some money before game time, but all the public money's going to be on there. If they get more public money and you see that line move to 7 and we get a reverse line move, whew, but I'd be excited to be on the right side of this one. Scotty, last game we got, marquee game, Sunday night. There's a good Sunday slate, too, by the way. We got two games on it. LSU.
Great Sunday
slate. LSU, Florida State, will be playing at Camping World Stadium in Orlando. This will be the rematch from last year's game that was played in the Superdome that FSU won the game. It was a great game to start the season. Really sloppy. Really sloppy from LSU's standpoint. They lost their all-star defensive end, Mason Smith. On that one, he blew his ACL out. Ironically, he won't play in this game either for some bullshit NCL suspension that he's out for one game. So we'll miss him. But this is going to be an interesting game. Both of these teams come into the season with, I would tell you, conference, you know, and national championship heights is where they can go with these. You're getting a lot of hype around both teams. Both teams are returning quarterback play. Both teams are returning offensive line. Defensively, you got Jared Verse, Harold Burke, you know, from Florida State, Harold Perkins coming back on the other side for LSU. Let me give you my breakdown, and you tell me what you think. LSU is going to be interesting. I think LSU's offensive line this year is going to be marketably better. Everything I've been reading about it, they've got a cohesive unit. Last year's LSU offensive line, between injury and lack of play, it was like every game it was different. And Jaden Daniels, really, his running last year was more improvising than it was anything else. And so this year, I think we're going to see more of the run-pass option get integrated into this, and so it'll be more of a choice run. It's going to be to see whether or not those defensive backs for Florida State, are they going to pinch up a little bit early, and are we going to give some of those guys, you know, those frisbee catching dogs that LSU has, Malik Nabers in the gang, a chance to get downfield and make some big plays. That could be interesting. On the flip side, Florida State, Jordan Travis, he's good. And this is a good offensive line unit that's there. He's got some skill position players back. And so both of these teams are equally matched. But when you ask me what I'm going to do come Sunday, I'm going to be saying, Florida State, you can suck that tiger dick, bitch. I'm going LSU -2.5 in this one. I think this is a better roster. I like the offensive line play. And the one thing I like about this is I think Jordan Travis isn't going to be able to run free, because they're going to have a defense in place with Harold Perkins spying on him or putting pressure on him that he didn't see last year. I do think Jared Verse is probably going to get some sacks, but last year Florida State had 4 sacks in this game. Verse had 2. I don't think they're going to be able to get the pressure and be as disruptive in this one as they were last year. Give me the Tigers -2.5 to pay it back from last season and get the season started off 1-0.
You know, at the end of the day, I'm just not sold on Florida State. And more importantly, I don't know that I'm sold on Mike Norvell. And that's why I'm taking LSU. I think Kelly's one of the best coaches in college football. I think he's one of the best 3 or 4 active coaches in college football. I think it's one reason I have loved this hire since day one. Don't care that he tried to go fake Southern accent. Everybody, that's media looking for a bunch of bullshit. The guy's trying to figure out how to fit in. Look, I get around people, my Southern accent gets worse. I know that's hard to believe. And, you know, it is what it is. You know, if you're not from the South, you just don't understand that. I mean, there are dudes that come down and they start drawing letters out. It's how we talk. It is what it is. And I think it was bogus. I think he figured out, you know what, just let me be me. I think he's a really good football coach. I think both these teams are really talented. I do think Norvell's done a really good job of fixing the FSU program. I think they are better than they've been. You look at this defensive line, I think it's really good. I think Burse is good. I think Lovett's good. I think Peyton's good. I think there's a lot of good guys. Do we need to lead this back to Mississippi State and say that Fabian Lovett is a Mississippi State transfer? Oh, okay. Right. All right. So anyway, but I do like LSU. I just think Kelly and this program are getting ready to step forward. I think a Bama win last year was a huge deal. Everybody says, can they win on the road? That is the question. When everybody looks at what they did, can they win on the road? Oh, can they perform when they're not at home? I thought they actually did pretty well on the road last year, winning at Auburn, at Florida, and at Arkansas. Yeah, they lost at A&M, but that ball game was irrelevant. And when you're building a program.
And Jaden got hurt in that game, too.
And Jaden got hurt. Everybody talks about, oh, man, I remember when Jackie Sherrill was building Mississippi State. Man, there were games that he took it off. I mean, it was like we timed games for when we were going to play well and when we weren't, because he knew you can only exceed your talent level about three times a year. I think you're going to get one of LSU's best shots this ball game. And at the end of the day, I think this roster is better than the FSU roster. I think year two of Kelly is different. I like LSU here. I mean, I also think there's a lot of buying into the hype of Florida State. Nobody's talking about Clemson. Clemson's been pretty damn good for about a decade now. And nobody wants to talk about them. Everybody's Florida State. I think it's right where Jimbo Fisher wants. I mean, right where Dabo Swinney wants it. And you know what? He's got the best offensive coordinator he's had since he won the national title. I think Clemson's the best team in this league. I like LSU to win this ball game.
Scotty, that's the board that we got this week. Rapid fire. I got a couple others I'm going to throw out there. Just make some nuggets and some notes. Miami, Ohio travels down to Miami, Florida. There's news that Tyler Van Dyke may or may not play due to an injury. This line's at -16.5. Regardless, I think if you can get Ohio +17, I like it. Looking at some other games that you got there, Oklahoma, if you can get them -35, Arkansas State, I do not like the Butch Jones experience, and I think Oklahoma could boat race these guys. I like the under in Fresno State Purdue at 47-49.5, somewhere in there. So I've got a few extras that I'm kind of liking and looking into, and I think Wisconsin may punk Buffalo personally. I think that big offensive line running the mesh, when you got Mordecai can get it downfield, weather's going to be perfect on Saturday.
I like the over of 54 in that.
I think Wisconsin may punk Buffalo hard in this game. And I kind of like
the over of 54 in that. There's no way. I think Wisconsin may score 50.
What else do you got you kind of like this weekend?
Let me explain something. This may be the biggest bet of my weekend. I don't even know what the line is. I hadn't even looked. I'm taking Northern Iowa or Iowa State. I don't even know who's out for Iowa State.
I think you're going to find out there's more people out for Iowa State.
Really good. Hadn't covered the number in this game. I certainly don't think they're going to do it Saturday. I will have me some fun on Northern Iowa, just to let you know. I agree with you. I like that whiskey game. I do like the over in that ball game because I think Longo is going to score some points. I think they're going to go fast. I kind of like me a little, but, man, I have been all over the number in this Kentucky-Ball State game, but I think I like Ball State +26, just by the performance – versus the MAC for them early in the year. I love Leary going to Kentucky. I think Kentucky's going to be good. But I think Ball State gets me a backdoor cover. And I love me a Matt Rhule. Plus 7.
Oh, boy.
Minnesota. Average. I just think this number's too good. They're going to fight in a phone booth. And I think this game is a 24-20, 24-21. I think 7's too much. That's the reason I like this game.
The only other two I like the under at 50.5. This is a good number here. In Texas Tech, Wyoming. I think Tech is going to have their way with Wyoming. But Wyoming runs really slow pace of play. I think they're going to try to play some keep away in this one to keep Tech off the field. This Tech defense is underrated, and I don't think they're going to want to do too much if they get a lead other than run the rock, because they've got Oregon on deck next week. So I kind of like the under in that one. Plus, that game's going to be played at 7,500 feet, highest stadium in the country. I like a little bit of the over in the Boise State-Washington game with what Michael Penix is going to do. This Boise State defense is not a great unit, especially going against this offense. I think it could be really explosive in what you get. But I could also see Boise State putting some points up in that one. And then the game I have no opinion on but I think is really interesting is UTSA that is laying 2 points at Houston. In this rematch from last year's game that went into overtime, Frank Harris is back for year 7 at UTSA, but they did lose their all-world wide receiver. And Houston's
He's 137 years old.
he bumped Rocky Marciano when he was 137 years old. And Houston loses Tank Dell and Clayton Tune. They're kind of starting over in that sense, so it'd be interesting. But all things considered, Scotty, I'm excited. We
got one more for you.
Bring it.
Can't not say that I will get involved on if Northwestern is not the worst team in the country. I think Colorado is not far behind it. This number of 20.5, I tried to talk myself out of this. And the only reason I can is because they don't have a returning quarterback. They're more talented at the bulk of their spots. But I question whether Morris is going to get remotely the production. But I think Colorado is going to suck. I mean, look, I know Hunter was the number one of the top 4 or 5 guys in the country. He's starting both ways. He sprains an ankle week 1. They're down 2 starters. I mean, I don't think that roster's worth the shit. It's not that I'm down on Deion and what he's doing and the turnover, but the changes he had to make. That is not a Power 5 roster. I mean, it really isn't. Now, the good news for them is they're playing what I think is a mid-level Power 5 roster, because I don't think TCU's roster is great, although they brought in a ton of P5 talent. You look at them and by talent level at tight end, at 2 wide receiver spots, they're more talented than they were at the spot based on recruiting rankings. And ability level. I mean, dude, they had a first-round wide receiver, and the dude that's fallen in for him is significantly faster and more talented. So how does that all translate? At the end of the day, I think TCU's going to boat race these guys. I don't think Colorado's very good. So I will lose money if TCU doesn't cover 20.5.
I like it. And I'll tell you what, if I can get me a Duke plus 14 Monday, I might get involved in that one. Let me run it down for you, folks, real quick. We've got a money line underdog parlay of the week. You got some Toledo plus 9.5. Is that what you want? Toledo plus 9.5, or you want South Carolina plus 2.5 in this game with South Alabama?
I want Toledo is my money line play. That's the number that I am taking them for sure. I will play South Alabama as well in a parlay with them, but I don't recommend that as a play.
So here's what we got. South Alabama plus 6.5. Try to get you the hook, get it up to 7. Rutgers minus 6.5. Texas minus 35. I also like the first half all the way up to minus 24 in that one. South Carolina plus 2.5. Under 64.5. LSU minus 2.5, Toledo plus 9.5, Texas A&M minus 21 in the first half, NC State minus 14 to get your Thursday night started. Scotty, I like the board. I like the start. We're going to make a turn after last week's 2-3 start to get this thing moving in the right direction, and we will be back next week with some more picks, plays, recaps, and getting things going. Brother, are you excited?
Man, I'm so excited. I'm also excited that just want to say that it sounds like Toledo is going to have some of my recliners in the locker room for the boys to relax on. I'm so excited about that. Colin, if you're listening, you're a good man. Ready to get up there and see those recliners, watch a ball game, hang out. So, looking forward to it.
Oh, my boy. I'm up there for that one. Folks, with that being said, you can hit us up on Twitter at @NipMark. You can hit him up at ScottDenson1. As always, review, like, mash, share, give it to your friends, everything you can. We appreciate it, and we look forward to being back with you next week. Until then.